When people talk about affordability in New York City, the focus is usually on residents. But local businesses are also feeling the squeeze without as many tools to help them stay put. Advocates say that's partly why so many mom-and-pop shops are closing. As WNYC's Jessica Gould reports, a new law could help the city's small businesses fight back.
Holly Slayton leads me into her East Village shop. She specializes in custom headwear, like hats, fascinators, and birdcage veils for weddings. She says her mission is to
make them feel beautiful, or putting a veil on a woman and she just burst into tears because she just found her image of what she wanted to be as a bride. So making somebody happy, it makes me happy.
She says this small basement studio used to be a rainbow of feathers, fabric, and lace, buzzing with customers. Now, there are just a few lonely hats on a rack. The only buzz comes from a fly darting around the empty space.
Oh, pretty much emptied out.
About a year ago, a company called Brookhill Properties bought the building. The landlord offered Slayton a buyout, but she didn't want to leave. Then the construction started. She says workers staged equipment outside her shop, making it hard for customers to get in. And renovations shook the building, causing dust to rain down from the ceiling.
They would leave all the doors open constantly, which I would scream at them about, leave construction dust, which I'd have to sweep up because my daughter comes to work with me.
Brookhill also bought the building where Slayton lives, just a few doors down, and there was construction there too. She says she and her daughter got respiratory infections from all the dust.
I feel like my heart was stabbed because between my business and my home, it's like that's my whole life.
State and city officials are investigating the company for alleged harassment and violations, including elevated levels of lead in some buildings. In a statement, Brookhill said it's committed to the health and safety of all tenants, and it addresses any compliance issues that come up. But business owners across the city say they're seeing similar things. Restaurants report water being shut off during mealtimes. Shop owners say landlords put up scaffolding to reduce foot traffic, or they block doorways with bags of garbage. Barika Williams with the Association for Neighborhood and Housing Development says it's all part of a broader strategy.
Landlords want to jump the rent, and so what they're doing is they're harassing small businesses in order to be able to do it.
Williams says it's the same playbook landlords use to empty their buildings of rent-stabilized residents, except those tenants have protections, like a right to renew their leases, limits on how much their rents go up each year, and an explicit ban on harassment.
None of those things have existed for commercial tenants.
Until now. Earlier this summer, the city passed a new law outlawing harassment of small businesses. For the first time, commercial tenants can sue their landlords for harassment, whether it's through threats, by disrupting business, or blocking entrances. And it sets fines up to $10,000 for the ones that do. Williams, with the tenant group, says it's a start.
That is a big deal, and it gives small businesses a whole new lever to say, we can fight our landlord and our business has a place here.
But Williams worries it's not nearly enough. She says the fine is just a slap on the wrist for many landlords. And small businesses often can't afford lawyers anyway. Landlords also have concerns. In a statement, the Real Estate Board of New York says the bill is too broad. Over in the East Village, Holly Slayton says she's glad to see the city take some action. But the new law doesn't go into effect until the fall. Too late for her store. The landlord decided not to renew her lease, so she says she's basically out of business.
Second Avenue and St. Mark's used to be like...
Turns out many of the shops we pass as we walk around her neighborhood are closed. Like the cafe where Slayton's daughter always got hot chocolate after school, the restaurant where she used to bartend, or all the other funky places that drew her to the neighborhood decades ago.
The bars and the restaurants, the culture for artists was alive then. Not all these vacant storefronts like you see here of these landlords holding these spaces for ransom.
Slayton says she hopes she'll be able to make hats again. But she's also looking at other ways to earn a living, like focusing on her second career, selling real estate. For WNYC, I'm Jessica Gould.